This episode is brought to you by Progressive, where customers who save by switching their home and car save nearly $800 on average. Quote at progressive.com. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. National average 12-month savings of $793 by new customers surveyed who saved with Progressive between June 2021 and May 2022. Potential savings will vary.
This episode is brought to you by Shaker and Spoon. Captain's log, stardate, I don't know, there's like 140 stars within a mile of me, so we're going to skip that bit. We received a package today from a company called Shaker and Spoon, and Colin and Jesse are already face deep in the box. It has three recipes for creating cocktails, plus all the ingredients you need, minus the alcohol. As someone who's been gargling swamp hooch for the last how many forevers I've been up here, wow, we got the vodka brunch box. Each recipe makes four servings, and we've already had the blood and sage and the slow rush. So easy to make, even Greg the Zebra was tending bar, and the results were magnificent. If you're foolish enough to listen to this show, we've got an actual smart thing for you to do. $20 off any linked subscription if you go to shakerandspoon.com/oz9. Get a box delivered to your airlock each month and $20 off your subscription at shakerandspoon.com/OZ9. Enjoy, Space Monkeys. Captain out.
On the Oz 9, it's 2142, and the crew is waiting to see if their lives will extend beyond the 29-minute countdown currently frozen on the Apocalypse Device timer. Season 1 ended with not quite a bang. Will Season 2 begin with one? Back here on Earth, it's 2019, and the cast have been assembling to talk about what they like, or don't, about their characters, which characters, if any, they'd trust with their dog, and what future, if there is one, they believe Oz 9 the ship and Oz 9 the podcast have. Last time, we heard from Aaron Clark, June Clark Eubanks, Tim Sherburn, and Richard Cowan, so be sure to check out their conversation. This time it's And the Rest with Eric Perry, Bonnie Brantley, Shannon Perry, and me, Richard Nadolny. Warning, there are spoilers galore, so if you're not done with Season 1 yet, maybe do that first. Hello and welcome to the cast interviews of Oz 9. In this episode, you'll be talking to the narrator and Madeline Olivia and Jesse Donna and Joe, Dr. Von Abesetzer, Mr. Suthers, and all the other things. So welcome to Richard Nadolny, Shannon Perry, Eric Perry, and Bonnie Brantley. So let's take it away with that. Everybody say hello and let's talk a little bit about your characters.
Hi, I'm Shannon. I play Madeline and Olivia.
I'm Eric Perry. I play Dr. Von Abesetzer and Dr. Mr. Suthers and Joe and Head One.
Hi, I'm Bonnie Brantley, and I play Jesse and Donna. And I always have to mention Lucretia Nibblebiscuit, who's one of my favorite characters, and other various critters.
Background sounds.
And I'm Richard Nadolny, and I play the narrator. All right, well, let's... And the alarm, yes. The much-loved alarm, at least by some people.
Much-loved alarm.
Alarm. Alarm. Alarm. Nice. How about that?
That's beauty.
So there you go.
I'm feeling alarmed.
Live and almost in person.
Uh-huh.
Okay, a brief bio from each of us about what we've done before this.
Bugger all. Not much. I haven't really done any acting since, like, fresh out of high school, which was rather a long time ago. So... I do the writing, so that's my
In my
major
home country, I was brain surgeon. No. I don't know. I did improv in Austin for a number of years. This is Eric Perry, by the way. I did musical theater and like as a student in college and high school and a little bit of community theater. And Bonnie and I have been in a couple of movies together. And, independent film in Austin, so did a little bit of that, too. And that's pretty much the extent of it. So I'll hand it over to Bonnie, just because this is going to go on forever with her resume.
My first... first acting job was in fifth grade as the Wicked Witch of the West.
Okay, time for post.
It really was. So that was my first one, and I was disappointed that I didn't get Dorothy, but then I discovered that I am a character actor, and I prefer that because I got a laugh. La la. Okay. Wait, and then fast forward many years, I worked at an animation studio, a couple of them, and discovered that I really enjoyed doing voices, and I've had years of practice talking to myself and making noises and things like that. So I started doing voiceovers just on my own, and I sent in a demo tape to Beavis and Butthead. Because I knew someone who knew someone, and I got it, which was great. I think it was because my demo tape was really funny, because pretty much all the voices I did were just variations of myself, except for the Morning Wood Fairy, folks, so look it up. So my claim to fame is being the Morning Wood Fairy. And then I did some other voice acting things, video games, and then a lot of boring commercials, and then reading stuff for textbooks and pretending like I know what I'm talking about. And then, let's see, a couple movies with Eric, which are really funny if you can ever find them. They're great. And then, because of Eric, I found Shannon and this podcast, which is just a delight, and I love it, and it's my favorite thing ever. I love it so much. So I'm
more
having a blast.
More than Beavis and Butthead?
Oh, yeah. Beavis and Butthead was really cool and to be able to do that, but the work, the actual work for this was much more fun because mostly I was just a girl in the background or, you know.
Was it more than one time that you did it?
I've got about 7 episodes. You know, they all have funny names like Spanish Fly and...
Hello.
Kind of odd names. I can't think of them all of a sudden. Oh, well. But, you know, various girl in the background or a teacher or something. Nothing nice. That interesting, really.
Very cool.
But it was fun to do it.
Well, and then I've, like Shannon, done Bugger All. I mean, we all have done drama club in high school or whatever. So, and I was Father Mulcahy in MASH. But
you were?
Yeah.
You're sweet. Oh, sorry.
On stage, I don't think you meant in the movie.
Yeah, not really. Not in real life. But
you'd be such a good Father Mulcahy. I can see that, yeah. Totally.
I know, I'm so wholesome, right?
You appear to be.
Well, anyway. So yeah, that's about it.
That's until, how he gets you.
Until we got here. So, so the next question is, what's the experience been like so far?
Thanks. So, it's been absolutely amazing to have actual fans and people who listen. Woot! Others.
It's been a living hell.
And just for us dealing with you.
Yeah,
anyway.
Right. That's what I meant. Yeah. It's been a very fun and delightful experience and ongoing. It's a commute for me to come up here and record. I live in Tacoma. We're in Seattle now, and that's where we record. But it has allowed me to do a series of voices and do voice-type characters like Bonnie was saying that I've never really got to do before, you know, getting to play these kind of over-the-top, outrageous, cartoony-type characters that have been lingering in my head for some time and screaming to get out. So now they've
along
had their
with all the other voices in your head.
Yeah, that's right. It's a little crowded in there. Yeah, we have to single file people. It's been very, very fun, and the writing, you know, it's okay.
Shut up. Incidentally, I just have to mention that Eric is my brother. So
yes,
the abuse is familial.
Yeah.
As well as familiar.
Yeah. There, I will say there were a lot of things I would do differently, but no, we're making do. We're slogging through, and it is very fun to have this kind of an audience and to have, you know, as many downloads. I've worked in independent film and several films that really didn't go much of anywhere. So it's nice to have an audience that still responds to the projects I'm working on and. This will be my legacy.
Our mother is so proud.
Yeah, right. This is my Hot Wheels collection.
Okay, I'm holding this tiny little mic. It feels so delicate. I forgot what the question was.
What's the experience?
Oh, the experience with this. Oh, I love it. This is my favorite thing. I record in this little closet in my house with a ironing board behind me and everything, and this, I love to tell this because when I close the door, the light turns off, and there's no air conditioning in there. And I live in Austin, Texas, so this is it's like a joke. It's the most fun I've ever had in a closet. But I record by watching everyone on Skype, and I record into my iPhone. Actually, I have a good mic now. But anyway, it's just been a blast. We do it about every 2 weeks, and I look forward to it like crazy, and it's the most fun thing I do. What else?
I was going to say that the first time that we did record, because we the remote actors are always on Skype so that we're all together for the experience. So Bonnie fires up her computer and we're like, she's like, oh, I'm in my closet. And there's all these shelves behind her with boxes that are labeled and, you know, stuff. And so we spent like 20 minutes going through her closet. Like, what's that? What's that? What is that thing? And she's like, oh, is this something I have? You know, and she's holding it up in front of the camera on the computer. Oh, this whole thing. So it was pretty funny. We went through her closet with her.
It's a big closet full of crap. But not, it's not all crap, but it's interesting, weird stuff that my mom has given me, beads and jewels and it's just weird, all kinds of weird crafty stuff.
That like an Etsy warehouse in there.
It is kind of like that, yeah. It's crazy. Yeah. But so let's see. Oh, and so I'm just loving that I got some fun characters to do that who I am actually matters in this particular job. You know, what I have to bring to it, it matters. So I love to have a job that it couldn't just be anybody. And that's what has always been important to me and what I haven't always had. But in animating, when I was doing that, you eventually get to where you're just drawing the same drawing over and over and over again, and you realize that anybody could do this, and it doesn't really matter what I have going on in my head, or how funny or interesting or creative or anything like that. It just doesn't matter. And that was kind of sad. Although the environment was wonderful, and so that's what I know is most important, really, is to be in a good environment with people who are fun and nice and supportive. That is something I learned back from animation, that the environment was almost more important than the job. But this one is both. Fun environment, supportive people, super fun stuff to do, and you know, what I have to bring to it actually matters. So I love that. And I also love that we're getting feedback from people instantly. As soon as we put something out, we can get on Twitter and whatever and find out that someone loved that episode or that someone thinks this is great. Someone thought I was really Scottish and that made my life. Thank you, because I'm not.
They were from Iran. But
That's okay. I don't care.
I'm kidding. She does a very good Scottish accent.
Yeah, I've been practicing. Thank you, Lynn Ferguson, wherever you are. I've imitated you the best of my ability.
That's right. Mm-hmm. Well, for me, yeah, the experience has been great. And obviously, I'm still going through puberty, but it's been a lot
second
of fun.
Second puberty.
And it's... I mean, you guys have no idea what an indie... I mean, we're an indie podcast. You have no idea how indie this thing is. I mean, sometimes, you know, like some of the footsteps are Shannon and myself out in our driveway with this lavalier down dangling between our legs, just clomping around. So there have been some crazy ones.
That's how we recorded the footsteps. And it's so ridiculous because there are two places where our neighbors came outside and started yelling at each other, just like, honey, did you take out the trash? So I just have to make sure that I cut the footsteps before, honey, did you take out the trash?
Unless you need that later.
Unless I need that later.
Yeah, you never work know. It
Everything's
show,
useful.
Yeah.
It's all good.
But anyway, yeah, it's just been a blast. And everybody is so much fun to work with. I mean, we, you know, of course we flub lines, but when we have fun with it, it takes us so long to get through an episode sometimes recording because we're just laughing so hard. The table read is amazing because it's just, everybody's like, what? And we're just cracking up at the jokes. Yeah, so... Sometimes it takes us a while to deliver them straight-faced for the podcast.
Yeah. One thing I want to ask, and this is a little bit separate from the list of questions that we had, but how is it for you when you are literally getting the script the day of the recording? Is that good, bad, indifferent?
Love it.
Yeah.
Did I talk over you? Is that going to mess up?
Totally fine.
Aaron, I was going like to say that this is not a project for a method actor of me, gay. It is really kind of the opposite because you get the script the day of or like literally when we show up for the table reading. And of course, you're doing just over the top characters. So it's, again, just kind of a fun way to express big, go broad or go home, you know, kind of thing. But yeah, it's a good crowd. It is fun to find all these people that had similar ideas for what they wanted to do with the performance and be able to sit in a room and be silly with each other, and it's almost like an animated show in many ways, and like an old school, you know, Saturday morning cartoon or something, just with crazy over-the-top characters, and it's narrated, and we eat a good meal beforehand.
Well, you do.
I do. Yeah, and then we have a meal at the location too. I'm sorry, I'm going on.
Hand over the mic.
Hand me the tiny mic.
Did you have something?
Getting the script the same day. Okay, I'm a big procrastinator, so getting the script the same day is great because if I got it early, I'd probably forget and then read it the same day anyway. But we've discovered that we really enjoy being surprised by what's going to happen, because we're fans of the show too. So what's really funny is a lot of us will purposefully not read it so that during the table read, we can see each other's reactions and going, oh my God, no spoiler here, but oh my God, that happened? Or we'll just die laughing because we didn't know this joke was coming up. And so that's what's so much fun. I almost don't want to read them ahead of time. If I have a new character, I'd like to have it ahead of time so I can practice an accent maybe or something like that. But that's fun. I love just getting it the last minute. And then when we do the final record, we've had a whole few minutes of practice. But it works. I think it works. I love it.
Yeah. It's really, it's fun. It's everybody's very fresh and the responses are very fresh. And it's just, it's really fun. It's fun for me as the writer to see people laugh at the jokes because I'm like, oh man, I hope that lands. Like, I don't know if that's a good one or not. And then, but the great thing is with you guys, and people have asked me, oh, do you also direct? And I'm like, no, there's no really.
No, there's no.
There's no need
sometimes.
For this. Yeah, I mean, there really isn't much need for direction. You guys kind of, I think our humor sensibility is very, very similar across the whole crew. And so it just works very well. And it's really fun when you hear a line in your head in a certain way, and either the actor totally nails it or improves on it, which is how it generally comes out. And it's.
Strangely, she's a real stickler for blocking.
That's right.
In a podcast.
Sit on your tape, damn it.
Hit your mark. Smile at the crowd. Sell it to the back seats.
Everyone project.
Yeah, right.
Did you have thoughts about same day scripts?
Well, no, because I live with the writer, and so therefore I have a little bit previous access to it since I have to do the first read through and find bugs or whatever.
Yeah. Oh, tell about that you do all the voices when you're doing the read. He does the voices when he's doing the read through. I haven't heard this, but I hear he does. And I'm wanting the fans to demand a version of the narrator version doing all the voices because it would gotta be good.
It'll never happen.
It's bordering on painful sometimes.
Yeah, she makes me stop quite frequently. So.
But sometimes anyway. The script is so fresh, by the way, I was just going to mention that sometimes I'll read the script and then, you know, in recording even sometimes, and I'll go, oh, I meant what you were going for here, so we have to do it again sometimes, which is the one, you know, obstacle we have to overcome a little bit is when you don't know what you're reading. But usually in one try you get it, and so the next one you're nailing it.
I will have the live scripts ahead of time.
Well, we'll be rehearsing.
Yeah, <right. laughs>
those I will have ahead of time.
Yeah,
I have till April.
Yeah,
April 25th, 2020.
At?
That's right. At Copious.
Wait, what's our name?
At the Copious Theater. What is it? Literally like four blocks from here.
It's yes, easy walk.
Not for me.
Yeah, right. Not for. Yeah.
I'm flying.
Well,
in.
We're where you are now.
Yeah. And boy, are your arms tired. Okay, so the next question is, where do you think the story is going? I'm going to skip Shannon because, first of all, she's writing it. And second of all, I can literally tell you from watching her write it that she does not know where the story is going while she's writing it. So, Eric.
Well, presumably we're going to another planet in the literal sense of where it's going. But what's the outcome of all this? Good Lord, who knows? Again, I'm surprised every episode when I show up. So you can imagine.
We're surprised that you show up.
Yeah, I'm surprised that I show up. I'm surprised I keep getting invited back. But where is the show going? Or like on the storyline, where is the story going? Yeah.
The question was just that, so I don't know.
Right,
right. Interpret as you please.
I don't know. Anybody else have any thoughts while I think about it?
Here, I'll talk. I can fill up space. Where's the story going? Okay.
I know I'll be telling it when it does.
The story, I don't know where the story is going, but I'm kind of hoping for more insight in the characters' personalities. Why are they the way they are? Why does Colin think someone is trying to kill him? How did Leet get here?
I'm hoping to do a lot more mini episodes that will give us sort of that off-arc backstory. Because
yeah,
I think those
be
are super fun. I just love that. And Eddie Louise of Sage and Savant said it would be really fun to see all the job interviews.
Oh, that would be so fun.
Of everybody on the crew, which would be, I think, a hoot.
Well, we already had Leet.
We had Leet. We had a piece of it. Yeah, he had a piece of his job interview when we found out that it was all about.
It's in one of the episodes.
It's in one of the episodes.
You know, I found one of the episodes that I'd never heard before once going through. I listened to them over again, and I found one that I'd never heard.
Ah, the lost tapes.
Yes, fun with ADD. So that's some things I think it'd be fun to see more insight on what the characters, where they came from and what they did before this and what they're thinking right now. A little more depth into their little personalities. But where it's going, I have no clue. I'd like to see Head 1 and Head 2 get married, if they're not already, because I don't think of them as the same person. I think of them as a married couple.
Well, they're physically married. I mean, they are in one...
They seem like
we share a lot of things, a lot of parts.
Yeah, I mean, the whole tater tot and deer makes me think that they have maybe sort of been like an old married couple for years. But I don't know. So
with
I'm flying by the seat of my pants. Yeah.
Yeah. But
you got time to think now.
Well, I was thinking, you know, it could be that they never find another planet. And so they may just start a, you know, that somehow the Oz-9 ship, which is this amorphous ship that nobody knows the dimensions of, and maybe it can accommodate an entirely new civilization that they just create out flopping around in the middle of space that just flops through the universe for the rest of its existence and adds on, or, you know, new people, or I'm not sure how they're going to procreate. There's not a lot of options.
Oh my God.
Then you have one is an AI, and then a lot of them are robots. And
it is a century in the future. I'm sure they've got cloning or something.
Yeah, but this crowd figuring out how to use it, I don't know. But anyway, so it could be that they, you know, that this is a sort of a new planet of its own that becomes some sort of a, you know, home planet for these people and a whole new civilization.
You are so high.
And I have been trying some of the sandwiches, and I don't know what the other options are for them.
Yeah, I'm not really sure where the story is going, but I know Shannon, being a huge fan of Doctor Who and
Who?
Hitchhiker's Guide to the Galaxy and Red Dwarf and Black Adder,
in case you didn't catch the references in the
show itself,
right,
that options are many and available and almost anything could happen. So, and she was forethought. She, you know, went ahead and stocked the ship with 50,000, well, somewhere less than that now, but fewer than that, but 50,000 people that she could thaw out and use for any purpose that she wanted to. Right now, they're just using to keep Joe busy scrubbing airlocks, apparently. But
yeah, I'm not sure who's going to operate the mop now.
Ooh, spoilers.
Mm.
Oh.
Ooh. Please don't make it all a dream. That's like the worst.
I know. We already kind of used that with
C4.
Oh,
you're right.
When the robot from Best in Galaxy shows
or
up.
Or was it?
That's right. Well, you did have to.
I tend to think of it as the ship is like a big mall that's in space, like a big unused mall that's set up. My thinking is, here's my thought.
Okay.
This is not what necessarily what's going to happen, because the writer has to have her input.
Does she?
And she has, of course. But anyway, the ship was set up to be a, once they get to whatever planet they land on, this is their home base. So it's set up to be
civilization in a box.
Yeah, exactly. It's civilization to begin with. All the terraforming equipment is on the, presumably, whether
it
works or not. Yeah, whether it works
is
the question.
Some seats.
But these are all, you know, they're rich people, so they have all the rich people. So there's probably like a Macy's somewhere on here, and a Nordstrom's, and we're in Seattle, so I have to say Nordstrom's. So there's all these things, again, whether they function or not, who knows? But you know, there's lots of golf equipment on board. And for the rich
perfect.
People,
the terraforming turns into like half a dozen golf courses.
It could be just
courses.
One big
world is your golf course.
Yeah, well, it could be one to just always replace your divot on wherever they get to.
Oh my God.
So yeah, or the whole thing could fall apart, or they could just start at some planet, and you know, it's a complete idiocracy type planet, and
many options.
They could land on Gilligan's Island.
There you go.
And rescue them finally. Oh no, they got off. They got off.
And the rest.
They got off Gilligan's Island?
Didn't they go back?
Yeah, they made those movies in the 80s.
What?
Yeah.
Yes.
They got off.
Yes.
Yeah. Everybody but Tina Louise.
They got off the island. I'm going to be specific.
I did not know that.
So anyway.
Yeah. Back to
what do you,
sorry.
What do you like or dislike about your characters? Well, you make them all, so you've got to like all of them.
Yeah, I pretty much like all my characters. So I really enjoy playing Olivia because she's very unpredictable, and so much of her character just depends on the delivery of the line. And there was a line in one of the scripts where she said, "The only thing permanent on this ship is me." She kind of says it to herself.
Sort of as a threat, though.
Yeah, but it's a sort of, you know, it clues the audience in a little bit on Olivia's state of mind. Mm-hmm. And there was a tweet where this someone's like, "You go, Olivia. Damn." You know?
Yeah, quoted that line.
Somebody quoted that line, and I thought that was really funny because
I think there's been a lot of permanent damage to the ship, but the,
there's
so
been
there
a lot of
permanent elements.
That's right. There are, yeah, that's very true. But you know, Olivia is a little unpredictable, and it's funny because you know she sounds like the little match girl, and
she is a teenager.
She is a teenager. Yes, we have
she
to.
She was seven.
No, we well, she's seven in AI years.
All right.
So anyway, she's a lot of fun to play. So
carry on.
What do I like about my career? Well, Joe, I kind of enjoy. Mostly, I've, in my own mind, one of my things that I've kind of created for him and expressed on Twitter when I'm contributing there is that he's a guy that just kind of is, because everybody is, you know, there's only a crew of like eight people and all the guests are either melted or you know, in a stasis pod of some kind. So he has kind of the ability to just roam around the ship and finding sandwich machines, among other things, and just finding all these weird things that the G2, and we were talking about G2, and I just have a feeling that these ships were created, but they at some point they just kind of got away from gated galaxies. There was not a whole lot of oversight, and so they were just kind of, I'm not sure how they got off the ground, that's a little unexplained, but they just kind of started construction and didn't really know how to end it, and then there was a launch date and they just left at that point, but they were just throwing on parts the whole time from wherever they could get them, and so that's what kind of makes the ship interesting beyond everything else, is it's just like, what is this ship, where is it? So Joe has a lot of fun searching the ship and finding out all the weird little nooks and crannies, all the crooks and nannies. And Von Habersetzer, I just love doing the accent, and he's kind of the fun little jolly character. I don't know if there's some other much darker side to him that hasn't been revealed yet, but he's I think he has a good time, and I'm not sure how he fits into the story yet.
He's mischievous, which I like.
Yeah, I love his relationship with Olivia, though.
Oh, me too.
Yeah, it's interesting playing your sister's creator. That's a weird thing.
Way to make it weird. I was just talking about the character,
awkward.
So.
Yeah. Yeah. There's a lot of the family tree takes a couple weird left turns out there. So Habersetzer is a lot of fun. Again, I'm mostly just having fun with the accent, but he's still at very much at the beginning of figuring out who he is. Head One, again, just fun to do the accent and just to play kind of that kind of working class guy who is kind of, you know, taking all this in and bemused and annoyed by Head Two, which is a fun relationship to play off of. And
we love Head Two.
Head Two, right? It is interesting. I'm all for whatever happens between the two of them. If this turns out to be a lifestyle, we'll see. I'm not gonna fight it. I'm not sure, you know, how intimate they are without arms and
all right.
Yeah. Moving on.
Yeah, all right.
Okay, Bonnie.
Well, I do have Mr. Southers. Again, he's just kind of an expositional character, but a fun accent to play.
Oh yeah. Oh. You have a lot of voices. Okay, mine. Jesse. I love doing Jesse because I like her personality. She's got a lot of my hot tempered side. So it's really fun to be angry and have fast delivery of lines and have to take a deep breath before I do some of the lines sometimes. So I love her and love the accent, and I've really been working on it hard to try to make it good and make it come out more natural.
She's a hot, spicy, hot-tempered Scottish woman.
I'm so afraid people going to be disappointed when they see that, you know, Jessie's really just this middle-aged woman. Oh, but I'm Jessie inside.
That's right.
And then Donna's sweet, and she's fun to do, but her accent, I think, is much harder than Jesse's, which mm-hmm. seems, I don't know why it is. I don't know why. Maybe just because I have people I listen to practice doing Jesse, and I don't have a lot of Midwestern...
You should watch more Fargo.
Fargo.
Yeah. Well, I tried doing that. Anyway, so I have a harder time with Donna, but she's still really fun, and I think doing her accent badly is maybe even better, because we haven't really said where she's from, so we can just say, you know, her... We can make up whatever we want, right? And then I love doing Lucretia Nibblebiscuit a lot, and I'm almost sorry she died. And I like to just do lots. I love that there's lots of. I just like all their characters. I think that Donna is very, very sweet, but she, you know, she mate surprises now and then. Mate, always said mate, like it came out. And I like that there's a bunch of other people on the ship that might pop out, and who knows what I can do. I'll dig up some accent or some voice from somewhere. I want to be a man. Not literally. I'm fine.
I want to be a man.
I'm fine in my body. Thank you. But it'd be fun to do a guy voice, see if anybody knows it's me.
There you go.
And I was sick last week, and I almost had the chance. I was talking like Barry White, and we missed it.
Yeah.
Dang.
I was totally set.
I know, and I got better.
I had reasons.
I was way down there.
You were. It was awesome. Narrator?
Narrator.
Ah, the narrator. What to say about him? Well, I dislike a little that he's kind of such an angry person.
It's funny.
But
he's more irritable than angry.
That's true. He is irritable. But the I love the narrator because there aren't a lot of them that are part of the story. I mean, I love that he is able to interject into the story every so often and give us a peek behind the scenes that you know, keeps the audience in clue with what's going on that the characters don't realize. So it makes it feel like he's one of us as the audience, as opposed to, you know, part of the story. But yet he's still in the story too. So
who is he? That's an interesting thing.
Where is he? Why
is
he?
What is the narrator actually? Is he a real character? I love the idea that if you think about it, it's weird.
It's very weird.
So who's high now?
That's just my natural state.
Who isn't high?
High on life.
Yeah.
None of us are actually high.
So the next question is...
Pause.
The next question is, which character would you most like to get a beer with, and which would you trust to babysit your children or dog?
Mm. I would definitely trust the albatross with my children or my dog. Which
really?
One would I... Yeah.
They better have a tag.
I was going to say, as long as they have a body tag. I don't trust anybody with my dog, and I don't have children, so I guess that question's not really relevant. As far as which one would I want to have a beer with, Jessie. I would have a beer with Jessie. She'd be a hoot.
She'd drink you under the table.
She totally would, and, well, that's easy to do, but, but I think the only thing about going to have a beer with Jessie is you have to kind of rein her in. She's the kind that would be, you know, coyote ugly and up on the bar doing
I'd be starting bar fights.
Exactly.
Yeah, my character, I'm sure of it.
Exactly. Yeah. Bonhoeffer would be fun to have a beer with, just because he probably knows a lot about beer.
Sure.
And he could explain some, you know, some weird, you know, do some weird science trick at the table with the beer and the coasters and, you know, an assortment.
Throw this seltzer thing in there and make it explode.
Exactly.
Or whatever. Yeah.
Did you know you can do this with a maraschino cherry?
And a good stout.
The good stout. So yeah, that would be. I think those two characters. Take your time.
Can you choose your own character?
Sure.
Yeah, I wouldn't want to have a beer with any of them. No, I'm really more of a. I'd split a root beer with, because I'm not really much of a drinker myself. Joe's a good guy, and who would I have a beer with? Who would I just want to sit down and hang with, I guess, is more the question. Again, Jesse would be a lot of fun. Donna would be the one I would leave with my pet or child, I think.
Yeah, that's
because
good.
That's she's good. A good Midwestern middle-aged gal who, you know, probably has like 6 or 7 cats. And so she'd probably just fit them in and could come up with an extra bowl for them. I think I'd like to be one of Donna's pets. And what was the other question? Who
would you have a beer with? Who would you allow to babysit your kids or dog?
A beer with narrator. I'd have a beer with the narrator and have his ear on all this. Like, where are you? And I don't know. It depends on who's buying, I guess. not sure what else.
I think Colin would actually be kind of interesting to have a beer with, especially if after like 2 beers he kind of calms down. He might actually be a fun person to hang out with. Just don't go, you know, parachuting with him.
It might be fun to get head one and head two drunk and just see them, what happens at that point. Do they just go at it, or do they fall into each other's arms, or do they...
or not arms.
Or not, yeah, right, that's true. Or not arms.
Crab.
Yeah. Madeline seems like a pretty regular gal. So.
Fiber.
Yeah, she takes her fiber pills, and she's at least got something going the right direction.
okay, Bonnie.
Oh, hello.
Stepping on board the Oz-9 is nothing if not a roll of the dice. So, if you're going to take that chance, at least have some really gorgeous, high-quality, unique RPG dice to roll with. Fan Roll by Metallic Dice Games have classic metallic dice sets, but also gemstones, acrylic, liquid core, and even a glow-in-the-dark option that's super cool and super handy when you can't find any night vision goggles. So many colors, materials, and designs to choose from. Plus, listeners to this show get 10% off your order. I'm guessing as a sort of consolation prize for listening to this show. Just use the code OZ9 at checkout. Get dice that are as unique as you and your character. Go now to fanrolldice.com and choose your dice, Space Monkeys, and get 10% off with code OZ9 at checkout.
Hi, I'm Yusuf Dahl, and when I was 18, I was convicted of selling drugs. For the past 3 years, I've had difficulty finding housing because it is legal in the United States to discriminate against individuals that have a past drug distribution conviction on their record for life. It doesn't matter if it was a hard drug like heroin or a drug that's now legal or partially legal in many states across the country, like marijuana. The Thurman Amendment was introduced to the Fair Housing Act in 1988 by segregationist Strom Thurmond, and it's since been used to deny housing to all people. But because people of color are disproportionately jailed for drug charges, we are affected more. My goal is to overturn this amendment to start an end to housing discrimination that unfairly targets people of color. If you would like to join this movement, please visit ThurmanAmendment.org to learn more.
A message from the Fable and Folly Network.
Who would you trust to babysit your kid or dog?
I think intent-wise, it would be Leet. I think Leet would take a bullet for your kid.
Mm-hmm.
But I don't know if he knows how to operate the dishwasher or, you know, I'm not sure as if that would be, you know, safe in other ways. But, and I think of Donna. Donna would take stuff out of the toilet. She can take stuff out of the toilet. So, you know, she's not afraid to get hands dirty.
That's right.
I switched accents in there. Donna seems trustworthy. And isn't someone in her family learning how to play the didgeridoo or something? What was that?
Dulcimer.
Oh.
Ben's, her niece.
Her niece. So she seems like a real good babysitter. I don't know. So I think the two of them, Leet by, the two of them together could be.
Quite a good combo. Yeah.
Let's see here. Oh, hanging out with, though. I was thinking that Jesse, I don't know if I'd want to hang out with Jesse because I think I already do hang out with Jesse in my own mind. Part of my personality, I think, is very much Jesse. Like I was saying, if I were a man, I'd be in bar fights. Although, as myself, I'm very peaceful and everything. But when I lose my temper, let's just not even go there.
Had a fight last night, so.
I know, I broke all kinds of shit.
See this bruise? Yeah.
There you go.
Yeah,
let's see, though.
The chair you hit me with was not breakaway, by the way.
I know, but your head was. I think Madeline is probably fun. I think it would be fun to have a beer with Madeline as Jesse, though, because I think they probably did have fun in college together. I have a feeling. Mm-hmm. And clearly she gets a little...
You mean space school?
Not Madeline.
School.
Yeah, in space school or whatever. But Madeline sounds like she gets a little wild when she gets a little bit in her. What did she... Yeah, she got a little crazy.
Yeah, she's the one...
That'd be fun.
Killed 7 people.
And I think Colin, he seems to like too much of his... I think he'd be fun... I think the whole group would be fun to go out with, because that could be kind of fun to learn stuff about each other. But an Albatross would scare the crap out of me. I love the actress who plays Albatross. She is a hoot, but I think the Albatross is scary.
Yeah.
Ooh.
Yeah, I don't know. Would you have beer? Would you have a beer with the Bichon Frise?
Oh, I just love to listen to him talk. I would.
Hey, and he wouldn't stop. So there you go.
Yeah, I'd love to.
Would I have a beer with Le Bichon Frise?
Yeah.
Would he be like a French snob kind of guy about beer? Did the French drink beer? I don't know.
It's probably more of a wine drinking.
Yeah, right. He was like, he would want to pair it with things all the time and like, drag me down. I just want to have a cheeseburger and a root beer. But I wouldn't leave him with my kids, I don't think, because, well, for the obvious reasons, he's French. our French numbers are going down as I speak. But yeah, he would at least corrupt them probably on some level, if not, you know. It would be fun to go camping with Le Bichon Frise, maybe. I don't know why, but
mosquitoes would come after him, and he'd be screaming, "I will assassinate you all!" And he'd be swatting at him and breaking the whole tent down.
That'd be fun to watch. Right?
Yeah, just watch Le Bichon freak out. That would be interesting.
Keep him away from the campfire.
Right, and you'd always know where he is because that accent is like
penetrating.
Yes.
All right.
Let's see. Well, I would go with the albatross for the babysitter because she is cold and efficient, and will get shit done. That's right. When you tell the babysitter you want the kid in bed at 9:30, they're going to be in bed at 9:30. No glasses of water or story or nothing. So yeah, I'm all for the albatross. And with the dog, same thing. She's going to take care of the dog, make sure they get fed. You know they're going out. So yeah. Having a beer, I wanted to pick Von Habersetzer because he is just such a crazy goof that he would talk about chaos theory and all these great scientific principles, and you would laugh the whole time because of his ridiculous grammar. So, yes, I would want to have a beer with
and
Habersetzer.
He probably fortifies his beers with some really interesting...
1947 port!
Right, and some sort of, who knows, something he concocted in a lab somewhere at some point that has some special properties of... suspending reality or something.
I would like to mention, because we haven't had I haven't had the opportunity to mention it yet, that
Von Habersetzer?
Writing Von Habersetzer is one of the most fun things I do, and it's funny because
the
phonetics of it, and fun with just messing with the grammar a little bit, you know, turn words around and try and figure out, okay, how would this guy say it? But what's really fun for me is like I want that relationship with Von Habersetzer and Olivia to be, if not paternal, then certainly mentor-mentee almost. There's that element of it. And so I wanted endearments from him to her. So and Liebchen is obvious, but that's...
What does that mean?
Little loved one, I think. Okay. It's like, it's what you call children, I think, in Germany. But I wanted something a little bit more ridiculous. And so I got on the internet and I was like, okay, German endearments, and they're a mental floss article popped up, and I love mental floss, and it had these wonderful German endearments. So the two that are in the script, episode 20, one of them is Eigelschnauzen, I think, and it means hedgehog snout, little hedgehog snout, and the other one is...
That's a real term of endearment.
Yeah. Hassenfurzen, which is bunny fart.
Love that.
These are genuine...
Yeah,
I mean,
you don't think of German
floss,
language as having, you know, charming little...
Right.
Little but ways to...
Yeah. And I went back and looked at that same article, and they have these wonderful endearments. Those were my two favorites, but they were just, and it's like, oh God, I was so excited to find that because they're so Von Habersetzer. He would, of course, he calls Olivia my little bunny fart. Like, how cute is that?
And that's the type of research that goes into this show, folks.
Right. Yeah, I keep saying it's science fiction that's heavy on the fiction and light on the science.
So, what are your hopes for Oz9? Where do you see the show going?
It's so much fun, and we have, you know, an entire universe to explore and 50,000 people to unthaw. So we have potential to do a lot of things and be around for a long time, and I hope that we can just kind of keep going. While it's, as long as it's still fun for us and fun for the audience, that's all I ask.
Yeah, the fun with the science fiction show, of course, is that anything goes, and you know, it's like you know, there could be all sorts of alternative realities we stumble into at some point. Again, that's up to the author, but so I'm not trying to presume anything, but you know, it's anything goes, wide open. Hope for the best, expect the worst.
Yeah, definitely that.
Yeah, I don't know where it is. We kind of covered this question earlier.
With the podcast itself, rather than the story, though.
Yeah.
Yeah. These are the hopes, though. What are your hopes for Oz9?
For Oz9, the story, or Oz9, the podcast?
The podcast, the show, the thing that we're doing. Yeah. What are your
Someone
hopes?
Someone say money. Just say it.
I would love for this to turn into a graphic novel. I would love to have that as an accompaniment to this, a graphic novel, like a comic book.
We still have to do voices, right?
Oh, yeah.
Okay.
I've thought many times that this could be turned into any number of things. It could be turned into a feature film. It could be turned into a series of some kind, a film video series. You can turn it into an animated show. So, you know, so that's why we had Bonnie here, because she's
She's the animator.
Yeah. Yeah, exactly.
Yeah, I'm the one to tell you, no, no.
Well, you don't have to do it.
Oh, okay, never mind.
Well, we've got the characters already drawn. You know, yes. They're such great characters to begin with. I keep thinking they would make a fun animated show of some kind.
And just a shout out for you saying that. Oh, a shout out to Lucas Elliott, the artist who has done our characters right. for us. Yeah. I mean, Shannon got him on board early on, and yeah, his art is just amazing. And it's just so fun to have these caricatures of the creatures that we play.
I think they help shape a lot of the characters. Yeah. Kind of help us all figure them out. But as far, again, where is the show going or everything? You know, it could just be nothing more or than a really successful podcast, and that should certainly be enough. But you know. It's a story that I think there is a visual content to it that I'm always kind of interested in exploring. I love the idea of the ship. To me, the fun of this thing is this strange, cavernous, semi-functional at best ship flopping around in space. And
the best that money can buy, and also the worst that money can
yeah,
buy.
Right. The best that money could,
Well, because we do have those great FitTech pods.
The what?
Exactly.
Right. Yeah, that's what I like, is that the ship itself is just a kind of a, you know, it's been built by, you know, scrap metal and a lot of deals that the Gated Galaxies got on some, you know, old materials from somewhere. And, you know, so maybe not space worthy, but at least they're hanging on. I would not trust this ship in re-entry. That's for dang sure. Yeah, right.
Sorry, Sweden.
Yeah, right. Poor Sweden. Anyone else? Go on.
What are your hopes
for this? I will be honest here. Okay.
Sometime today?
The real hope I think we all secretly have that no one's actually saying is that we all wish that one day this could make some money and we could all quit our day jobs. That's the dream. That is not why we're doing it, though, honestly. Because, like Shanna said, she started out as just being a fun exercise for writing and for doing some stuff with her friends. So I am totally happy if nothing happens to it financially besides us having this wonderful hobby. Because I love it. And so I'd be totally happy with that. But there is the secret, you know, not so secret dream that how do you make money from a podcast? I don't know. But somebody knows. But if something cool happened and we could quit our day jobs and do this for our job, that would be so awesome. I don't think this would be the type of job that would stop being fun when you had to do it for a living, like so many are. Mm-hmm. But let's see. That's my dream. And as for, I have fears of it doing much more than being a radio show. I'm old. Because I've seen how when a big company takes over, they replace us with famous people. And if it became a big animated thing and, you know, they'll take over and replace you with famous people, and that makes me sad. No. Unless there was just a...
There'd have to be, indie podcast.
No matter how much money there was involved in it, it would still make me mad. Because I get very protective of my characters. There's Shannon's characters, but I've already become protective of them as if, you know... So it would kill me.
Yeah.
So that's tricky.
No, but, I'm with you on that.
But a puppet show, I'm all for the puppet show. If we just get our little pins and stick them to... popsicle sticks, and then we can take it on a country and like worldwide tour, and we will just bounce them up and down while we do our voices.
We'll have a flea circuits too. Yeah,
that's where the money is. Puppet
so
theater.
You know, as long as I still have my job.
Yeah, can we patent our own characters or anything like that, or trademark them or anything? So.
Hell, you can. Sure, you can.
Well, they're already. I mean, they're out there in the world, so they are. It's like, once they hit paper, they are automatically copyright. That's an automatic. So. Yeah, I mean, my goal always with this was never to make money on it. That's not... I never assumed that it was going to be... Quite frankly, I never assumed my writing was going to be good enough for it. And I'm still not convinced, but...
Yes,
thank you. But...
it was a creative exercise.
It was a creative exercise.
An outlet.
And it has been surprising that people have picked up on it. And there are people who've listened to it several times through, which is amazing to me. More than I've listened to it, which is incredible. But... I'm committed to this cast and this crew and this vision, because why would I want to change that?
Can everyone hear this sound in the background?
Yeah, that's my dog chewing on her bone again.
Yeah,
just
there's
saying.
Always some dog making some sound in the background. Jeez. Of everything
when
we're
recording.
Record.
That's right.
That's true.
It's not Richard and Tim's dog, it's our dog. Yeah.
That could be our trademark.
There you go.
I was going to mention that one thing, that having come from the independent world, a film world, which
I moved to Austin to do with my brother in the early 90s, comparing where this audio drama world is right now. It's very interesting that it's kind of that burgeoning new thing that I think could become monetized some more time, and that the people with money, and I understand certainly Bonnie's concern that you get recast by somebody much more famous or whatever, but that there is this, I think everybody out there is looking for content. The people with money are looking for content, and this is something that in the whole world of audio broadcasting, this podcasting, that this is a whole new potentiality there, that there's all these shows that are being really done by very smart people who really know what they're doing and are learning this really well. How it's exactly.
And then there's us.
Right, and then there's us. Well, we're on that curve somewhere. We're sliding down it on one direction or the other, I'm not sure. But we're learning it, and so, again, it's kind of like being out on the Oz9 itself. Who knows where it's going to land, but it's an interesting journey, and there's all sorts of potentials, I think.
Yeah.
Well, my hope for the show is that I want to be walking down the street one day and see one of our t-shirts just on some stranger. And
that'd
then
be so
just
cool.
Freak that beep out, and I just would be all up in their face. Where'd you get that shirt? Oh my God.
Yeah.
So, yes.
Yeah.
Yeah. Is that a knockoff? Did I get a percentage of that shirt?
Yeah, I thought about that because we, for patrons, we put our alarm sound out as an MP3 so that people could download it. And actually, we know people that use it on their phones as their morning alarm or as like a notification for messages or ringtone or whatever. And we do ringtones for people who become patrons at a certain financial level. We will record them a specialized ringtone of their choice and with the character of their choice. And I am dying for someday to be walking down the street or outside and to hear Jesse's voice on somebody.
Oh,
your phone's ringing. I told you. Do you read? Oz9, do you read? Your phone's ringing. Like, I think that would be so.
Ringtones and puppet theater. That's where we're moving.
There you go.
Right? How cool.
I don't even know what I just said.
it was just unbottled.
I don't
excitement.
Know that could be a ringtone.
I do have to say, we have, since you brought that up, that is my absolute favorite thing to do is when somebody wants a narrator, ringtone, or voicemail. And it's like the thing that one guy's like, he told me that, yeah, my mom thinks that I had that done on purpose to piss her off. And he's like, and when I see it's her calling, I let it go to voicemail.
Here's the thought is that at the end of the show, the last thing that's heard as the ship flies off into eternity is alarm, fading into the distance.
Interesting.
You know, but
we've got that written up.
Yeah. Maybe it's because the ship is about to be destroyed, or maybe it's because these people have been unleashed on the universe. Right. And that's the concern. Who knows?
Yep. So why don't you take a moment and tell us if you are interested in other work? Like, obviously you're going to continue on the Oz9. That is your one major commitment. But yeah, I would love for you guys to share if you're interested in other voice work, what you're looking at, and how maybe people can contact you. And you're welcome to use the shannon@oz-9.com as a generic email address for that kind of stuff.
Yeah, because we don't want to be flooded with
requests.
Yeah. You know, just single file.
You
got to
filter
take a number
out the chaff.
Take a number and a seat. Yeah, I think it would be fun to do other voices. Certainly, again, I've got a shite load more of them and voices. Sorry, we're being sidetracked by looking at the dog looking very precious right before she explodes into licking offs down to a nub.
She's exhausted herself by gnawing on that plastic bone or whatever that bone is.
This is like ADD all over the place. I love it.
So what were we talking about? Oh, yeah.
Would you like to do other voice work?
Yes,
other
I would
than
like
Oz9.
To do other voice work. Contact me. Get me the hell out of here.
Oh. Hi. I feel a very strong loyalty to Oz9 here because I love it so much and I feel like it's a family already. But, and I think it could be fun to do a guest voice on someone else's podcast as one of the characters, if that's something that's happening. I think that could be fun, mm-hmm. You know, because the podcast community has been so sweet and so nice and so supportive, which I love.
Yeah.
It doesn't seem all cutthroat and competitive, even with people who have, there's all these sci-fi things, and the sci-fi people are like, oh, we're fans of your sci-fi, you know, I love that. So, and it would be fun to do voices guests on other people's shows, but I would only want to do that for like a little one-off thing or something like that. And, but if someone was going to take a considerable amount of my time doing something, then I think I might want some money. I think I want some money out of it because I can't do this for free forever. Did my accent come out? What the hell happened there? Making money is good.
It's so good.
You can't live by bread alone.
That's right.
I scared Eric.
It's a hot mic, baby. I've had this idea too that some of these characters, and you know, coming from the improv world, one of the big ideas in improv always is tying stories together. That there can be more and more crossover stories between shows that add up to new plot lines or whatever. So I've always been really interested in, I don't know how you do it, and it's up to the writer, it's not my problem. And it's just an idea, but it's a fun way to merge this world ever more into some sort of thing greater than the sum of its parts, perhaps. And just a fun way to, keep that world of audio podcasting together, and it's a unique thing. And, again, coming from the improv world, it's always about tying ideas together. Mm-hmm. And so, again, kind of like the Oz 9 itself, it can go anywhere.
Yeah.
It's just up to the people who are interested in doing it. But it's just a thought and a way to continue a character in another scenario.
That our crossover episode with C4 from Best in Galaxy was one of my favorites.
Yeah,
that was
right, exactly.
That was a lot of fun.
And it's a way to keep things fresh all the time.
Yeah.
To cross over.
And I like collaborative. I just love the whole idea of supporting each other. Which is, so many things are so competitive, and I'm not big on competitive that much, although some people will say otherwise.
Yeah.
But it's not true.
Yeah.
They lie.
What about you, Richard?
For what?
What was the question?
Other work.
Other work? Projects? Well, I think the narrator's made plain that he wants more work.
Right, he wants to narrate, God, dang it.
He wants to do some documentaries.
Right.
But, I'm like Eric. I'd be willing to do some more voice. I mean, I can't do accents, so if you don't, if you want anything tricky, look out. But I don't know. Nobody would want me anyway. So what's the point?
Oh boy, that was the biggest beg for work I ever heard.
No. Anyway,
that was great.
So as a final wrap up, let's go about and what is the we'll just go around and say what's the absolute best thing that you've gotten out of this so far.
Shannon's just pointing fingers over.
Come back to me.
Well, again, it's the fun of getting to play characters that I had in my head that I've never had an opportunity. I've done improv and I've done musical theater, but. This Shannon comes from a very much a background of kind of British sitcom and comedy styles, which uses a lot of these kinds of characters, not just literally with British or British Empire accents, but the big over the top fun Monty Python-esque and all those other references she used, and that's what a lot of the fun is. I forgot what the question was.
What is the best thing you've gotten out of Oz 9?
Oh, what is the best thing you've gotten out of it?
Now
so
that
that's,
talked,
I would
that you've
say.
Talked about yourself so much.
Yeah, right. Well, All right. Well, it is about what I got out of it, so I guess. That's it. Getting to do characters that I've never gotten to do before, and nobody asked me to do before.
What I got out of this was friends. New friends. No, that's actually true. One of my favorite things is a new batch of friends, this is so awesome. And it was so, I am in Seattle right now around the little kitchen table. And the only person I've ever met in 3D before is Eric here. So it's really been fun to meet the whole crew in 3D, and we got a new batch of friends now. And as soon as I walked in the door, I felt like I'd known them forever, which was really so funny. Friends, a new batch of friends is, a great thing. And also being able to be nuts. I've done some voice work before, not a whole lot, but I've auditioned for video games and stuff, and I don't know, what do you want? I'm always wondering, what did they want? And sometimes I get something and sometimes I don't, but most of it's been really straight, which is fine reading textbooks and pretending like you know what you're talking about, but it's not really fun. So this has been fun. And like I said, getting to do the thing that, what makes you special? You know, everybody's got something that makes you special, that you actually can contribute something special about you. This is one of the few times I've really gotten to do that, which I think is lovely. No one else can come in and do the characters the same way that we do our characters, because now it's become our character.
Yeah.
I love that. And I also love that we get a little creative input, which has been, not a little, a lot. Shannon let me decide what the accent that Jesse was going to have. She could have been...
anything.
We played around.
She could have been Southern.
Was she meant to be Scottish?
No, she didn't have an accent for her yet. So I think that was just so fun. I just read it and I thought, ooh, she sounds Scottish. And then I thought, oh shit, now I've got to go learn Scottish. So I love that too. We've gotten creative input. We got some ideas like, how do you think this might go? And that means a lot. Making me feel special.
You are so very special.
Your turn.
Well, the absolute best thing for me, other than, like I said, recording ringtones, has been just having so much fun with basically it's just a creative outlet for us as a hobby that people have actually picked up on and like and listen to and enjoy. And it's like, that's the best thing ever. It's like, not only are we having fun ourselves, but other people are enjoying it too. And that's just indescribable. You guys are great. Thank you so much for listening.
Yeah, I think for me as a writer, you spend so much time writing things that just kind of go off on the ether, or they go into a drawer, and you never get much response from them. You know, I wrote a children's book that a few people read and a few people liked, but it's like every time a book goes out of the Amazon store, I usually know who it is who bought it. So it's like, oh, that's...
There are several copies, by the way, available in my basement apartment.
They were in Mom and Dad's basement. Now they're in Eric's.
Yes, they're a family legacy to be handed down to, I'm not sure who, since none of us have kids. But
the anchor and the albatross of the family.
I bought one.
Oh, that's right.
I bought one of my own money.
Anyway, but the nice thing about, I've written other things, that short stories that don't get published, or books that don't get published, movies that don't get made, and it's like, you constantly are writing into a vacuum and you don't get much response. Then this, you write it and we publish it and we watch the numbers go up, and that is so much fun. And we
instant gratification.
Like Bonnie was saying, you get on Twitter and you talk to people, and it's so much fun. And I love being on Twitter as Olivia, because she's super snarky and I get to just be
Olivia
and have fun and be Olivia, and it's that is a great thing. And people really like that we are on Twitter as our characters. Like, that's
this is the first thing you've ever written that was scripted, that actually has had actors perform the parts.
Yep.
You've written scripts before but have not had them produced yet.
Correct.
So this is
there's still time now.
Yeah.
Let's dig them up. All the characters we have here.
Let's pull up that thesis play again.
Yeah, oh God.
Except we'll do them as the Oz9 characters.
That would be totally terrifying. My next project, actually, for this group is to look at that tail. She is seeing something. You may hear some barking. Very
she's
shortly.
On point. Yes,
she is on point.
On point.
My next project for
There's
this group
a pheasant out there.
Is I have a couple children's books that I would love to have made audio. So I'm going to use this group.
A couple of them she wrote.
Hopefully, if they don't mind doing that.
Me.
Awesome. So. And I have to agree with Richard and say thank you to our fans and listeners and people who either respond to us on Twitter or don't and download, or join us on the Podcast Junkie Discord channel, which is super fun. We love communicating with people, so you can find us there. And if you don't and you just quietly just download it and don't talk to us, that's fine too. We love you anyway. Anybody else?
Mention our website.
Oh, and yes, you can find us on our website at oz-9.com.
Oh, and the website's full of goodies.
It is. There's lots
it has,
of fun stuff.
Every little section has some fun, cute, funny writing from Shannon about each section. Every little piece of it has, something really cute and funny written by her. And those awesome drawings by...
I know. I love the drawings.
Lucas.
Yeah, Lucas Elliott.
Is he ever going to do any more, by the way?
Yes. Oh, yeah. Okay. We're working on a couple more things.
It's full of good stuff.
Yeah.
And you can see what we look like if you want.
That's right. Our press kit is a lot of fun, I think.
It is.
You know, if there are any press who are interested, we have a press kit.
I have nothing more to say. Yes, we've created a little world here, a floating, flopping world out in space, but it is unto itself and self-contained so far at this point.
And who knows what's more? Who else is going to show up? Because I can do an Italian accent. I can do a guy from Brooklyn. I can do a...
Tell all your friends about us, folks.
I know. Here I am auditioning for all these other characters and for other shows. But, yeah, so...
I would also like to mention thank you to John Faley, who is our music guy who writes our theme song. Isn't he great? And he plays a character in episode 21.
Was it the same characters before?
No. Yeah, so he's awesome. And his son, Elliot, has also helped with some of the creation of the music, too. So some of the pieces.
And that music, that opening music just legitimizes the whole thing.
I love our theme song.
It's great.
And I have to say that I'm really excited, too, because John has, being such a creative musical guy, he has created a hard rock version of our theme song, which is the heroic running music in the
heroic running.
But that's just a clip of the whole song. And we also have a smooth jazz version. And at our recording session the other night, he promised he's working on a disco version of our theme song.
So. I think heroic running will become a sort of its own subgenre of music at some point.
Or exercise fad.
There you go.
Even better. We never shut up. We could go on all day.
Yeah, we have to wrap this up.
So we're going to wrap this up.
All right. Any last words?
Nope.
Again, just thank you to our listeners. You guys are awesome. We appreciate you. And
Thank you.
Yeah. Oh, and who's our Kenya? Who's our listener in Kenya? We want to know who you are.
So this is the thing. On Libsyn, we can actually... So we use Libsyn to host and send out our podcast. And we can see a map of where people are listening, which is... great fun to watch, and we know that there is like one person in Kenya who is listening to this podcast. So if you are that one person in Kenya, please send an email to shannon@oz9.com.
The Fable and Folly Network, where fiction producers flourish.
Hi, folks. Let me see if I can sum up Midnight Burger in about 25 seconds.
Really big monster!
Zero irony.
Pardon me, Gloria. Might my husband and I have a word?
The radio is talking to me.
So this is how it ends. Eaten by wolves in space.
There's a pocket dimension in the deep freeze.
This is the stupidest dystopia we've ever been to.
What the hell is that?
Because you're having a cigarette? In 415 million BC.
Where are we?
Space.
Can you narrow that down?
The bad part?
Ava.
Yeah, that didn't work at all. At the nexus of all things, there is a diner. Look for Midnight Burger on your favorite podcasting app, or just go to weopenat6.com.